Welcome to All Things Apostolic. My name is Casey Cease, and I'm your host for today. Today, we're going to continue our discussion on Acts, and we're going to take a look at Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1. The Bible says in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered the temple." When we talk about the ninth hour in the biblical text, this would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was also the time of the evening Tamid, which was one of the two daily sacrifices that would take place at the temple. And we see mention of this sacrifice at the temple in Exodus chapter 29, verses 39 through 41. We also see it again in Psalms 141 and 2 and Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. There are a couple other passages of scripture that indicate or talk about this particular time of sacrifice. And Josephus, in his work, also mentions sacrifice in the morning and sacrifice that took place at the ninth hour, just like we're talking about here. And so, as we have already seen early in the book of Luke, Luke often connects the divine activity and divine things taking place during times of prayer. Again, we talked about seeing this in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, in its association of receiving the Holy Ghost with the morning prayer. And we also see in Acts chapter 10 that the ninth hour, or 3 p.m., is when an angel reveals God's message to Cornelius. And so the connection in Acts between prayer and the divine is something that Luke consistently uses throughout his gospel. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, again, that a certain man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. The description that we see here of this particular guy highlights his need. The first thing that we see in terms of his need is that this issue wasn't something that was new. Instead, it was something that was longstanding. It was something that he dealt with since birth, and we'll see later in Acts chapter 4, verse 22, that he is over 40 years old when this takes place. The second thing we see in terms of this individual's need is that he was reliant on others, because the Bible tells us that others had to carry him to the gate. And the reason why Luke may highlight this is because the lame, along with others that had physical abnormalities, were typically barred from entering into the temple. We see this also in connection with those who had a blemish. They were not permitted to enter the sanctuary or into God's presence. And we see God is starting to do something new in the midst in terms of allowing these individuals into the presence. The temple gates were useful locations for begging, since they were frequented by large numbers of people. In the United States, we would see this a lot, at least here in California, in Turlock, where I pastor, a lot of times in which you see individuals asking for assistance. They're out at the stores, they're at Walmart, they're at grocery stores, they're standing outside of Home Depot, because it makes sense if you're going to ask to be in a place at which you come in contact with individuals on a regular basis. And so this was why they were laying or standing at the gate, where they expected a lot of people to be passing at a time at which they expected them to pass. So what we notice here is that the man initiates contact based on his need. And so by reaching out with his immediate need, he provides an opportunity for the apostles to provide him with something. And what's interesting, when we look at the apostles, you know, later on we'll see, it says that he said, "Silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus, arise and walk." By healing the man, and address both his immediate need, right? He's asking for money, and they're saying, well, we don't have that. But in meeting the need, the physical condition, he could now walk. And the requested need was, now that he was healed, he could provide for himself. The Bible goes on to say in verses 3 and 5, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. We see throughout the book of Luke and in Acts that Luke often emphasizes the piety involved in almsgiving. We see this in Luke chapter 11, verse 41. We also see this in Acts chapter 9, 36. We see it in Acts chapter 10, verse 2, when the Bible talks about Cornelius. We see it again in Acts chapter 24 and 14. And so alms is something that Luke highlights. And despite Judaism's heavy emphasis on charity and the giving of alms to others, they tend to look shamefully or downward on those that were asking alms. So Judaism stressed both charity and a high work ethic. And so most beggars in this time generally had no alternative means. It wasn't like they had a social support system or they had things in place at which they could receive what they needed. And so almsgiving was a regular practice. And so charity was one of the most basic and emphasized obligations. And sometimes it appeared alongside what some would call the three most prominent moral demands. And so when we look throughout the prominent demands of Torah or throughout the Old Testament, it would be Torah, temple, and service. And oftentimes, in addition to Torah, temple, and service, we see charity being added to it. And so again, despite some examples of charity towards the poor, the dominant belief, the dominant ethos among the rich was a disdain for the poor because it seemed like their needs were endless. Peter's declaration to look on us, you see a lot of times when they would pass by, and we see this in our modern culture, when someone's begging or when someone is asking for something, people tend to put something in and quickly move past the beggar or the individual asking for something. But this time, it was different. This time, Peter and John didn't quickly walk past. Instead, they stopped. They said something to him. Look upon us. And Peter fixed his gaze upon the individual, and the man responded. The Bible tells us that he gave heed unto them, and so he gave his total attention because he probably recognized that in their language and in their slowing down to say something, that this was going to be something out of the norm. You see, the man expected to receive something from them, but he didn't expect to see something as great a value as what he did receive. And so he expected possibly some money, but instead he received wholeness of life. And so another thing that sticks out to me here in Acts chapter 3 is the Bible says, and all the people saw him walking and praising, and they knew it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened. And so we see, just like in Luke, or just like in Acts rather, Luke uses a miracle, the move of God, the healing of the lame person, to draw people in to what Peter and John are about to talk about here. And so one of the primary purposes we see miracles used in the book of Acts is to draw the unsaved, to get the attention of the unsaved. And as the lame man which was healed, Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, and they greatly wondered. And so these individuals, they wondered, they were in amazement at what they did. And so what did Peter and John do? Peter and John used the miracle as a base, as a way to exalt the name of Jesus Christ through preaching the message. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 3, 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power of holiness we had made this man walk? And so what we see from Acts chapter 3 verse 12 through Acts chapter 3 verse 18 is Peter continues to preach about Jesus Christ. The message here, like that recorded in Acts 2:38, was a condensed version. It was a summary of what was actually said, and what was highlighted was, again, the most relevant portions. And so what Peter does is interesting. Peter begins by correcting a misunderstanding. If you remember in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, when Peter stands up to address the crowd, the first thing he does is he addresses a misunderstanding. These men are not drunk as ye suppose. He addresses a misunderstanding. And so here in Acts chapter 3, verse 12, he does the same thing, and he starts by addressing a misunderstanding by saying, why do you marvel at this, or why do you look at us as if it was us that made this happen? And so instead, he focuses and says that the man was healed in verse 16 by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that's important to note here is that the faith is in reference first and foremost to that of the apostles. The faith was for them to speak the word, and then that faith was transferred. The Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing. And so the expression of the man's faith was rooted in the faith with which the apostles spoke. And so Peter spoke the word in faith, and the man at the gate called Beautiful received the word in faith. And so Peter acts upon what he saw Jesus do. Peter acted in Jesus' name. He acted as Jesus' agent, and he acted as one carrying out Jesus' ministry. And so Peter did exactly what he saw Jesus do. And to me, that's reminiscent of John chapter 5 and verse 19, in which Jesus said to them, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." And so Peter did what he saw Jesus do. Jesus operated in the authority of the Father, and Peter acted in the authority of Jesus. And all of this culminates with the call to repentance in verse 19 of chapter 3. It says, repent then and turn to God. You see, Peter doesn't condemn the audience without offering hope. So Peter offers a call to repentance, which signals the purpose of the entire speech that he's giving. His call to repentance reflects and recalls the same call that he gave in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. It starts with repent, and then it moves to and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. And the blotting out of sins, again, is remission, which is tied to what? Baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. And what's going to take place after the individual is repented and baptized and converted in terms of his sins being blotted out? The times of refreshing, which ties back again to the Old Testament prophecy and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It prophesies of the coming Messiah, who would bring relief from the bondage of sin. And here, in Acts chapter 3, they have another chance to receive the gospel and the good news and be converted. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of All Things Apostolic. I look forward to seeing you next time.